what brought you to do this work?
I come by it so naturally, and that's probably why I love it so much. I brought my son home from a Bulgarian orphanage when he was 3 and a half, almost 4, and that was hard to believe, almost 16 years ago. And immediately figured out I was working as a special education teacher at the time that I brought my son home, and I was an expert on behavior modification. My specialty in special education was children with behavioral disorders, and I would travel to other schools and help people set up very elaborate behavior modification programs. And so I figured I was all ready for this bundle of energy that came to me from an orphanage with a trauma history. And I put him on a little sticker chart when he was like 4. And yeah. He had very little language, so it was very visual. And it was just, you know, if you comply with what mommy says, we put a sticker on here. And when the page is filled with stickers, we'll go to the dollar store. Because I figured out one day we were at the dollar store and the kid's face lit up. He absolutely loved the dollar store. And I was like, this is the easiest thing in the world. Okay. Actually, it went along okay for the first week. He was very excited and like he was looking for me to ask him to do things so he could do them and then go put a sticker on his chart. And I figured, you know, that this was really going to work for him. And then came the day where he didn't want to comply and it didn't matter if he was going to get a sticker. And so then he was a particularly naughty little boy for about an hour. And so then he brought a sticker over to me looking very hopeful that I was going to put it on the chart. And that's when I realized that there was no connection at all. After all of that misbehavior, he thought it was time for a sticker. And when I said he couldn't have a sticker, he took the little piece of paper off the refrigerator and ate it, put it in his mouth, chewed it up. And I said to myself, oh, Melissa, you are going to have to find another way. And then just like the rest of us, especially teachers in the classroom, when you realize something you really thought was going to work for a child doesn't, and you're like, uh-oh, now what? And that was my uh-oh, now what moment. And so I just started reading. And back then, you remember, there was very little out there for parents of adopted children and certainly nothing that helped us understand their traumatic brain growth. But I read A Weaver's Craft, which was a book about toddler adoption. And while she did talk about, you know, very strict behavioral consequences and being consistent for kids, she did explain very vaguely about compassion and empathy. And it started me on this journey of, so what if I didn't have a consequence? And this was, so wait, he's going to do this very naughty thing. He had this thing. He liked to walk over to my drapes and yank on them. And he would just do that. And it didn't matter. Like my friends who had bio kids were like, oh, distract him with a toy. I gave him a Hess truck to distract him one day, and he threw it at me. So I was like, okay. That's when I knew I was really going to have to find something different. And that was the beginning of my shift in thinking was, this little boy looks like all the other little boys that I have worked with as a teacher, but nothing I do is working. He's different. And I just figured he was different as a result of, you know, being in an orphanage for 3 years, not understanding the full neurobiology at that time. So I just started talking to people and connecting with adoption groups and finding my way and working with the talented. There were some really fabulous and talented teachers in my son's passed, and they listened, and I'm like, well, try this. And they would get back to me right away with how it went, and we just started putting one foot in front of the other. And what I was learning by doing with my adorable little son was that everything went a lot better when I didn't respond to very bad. Like, I got to the point where I was like, this drape thing, I just took my curtains down. Right. And now it's very fashionable to have blinds and not curtains at all, but that was, you know, 16 years ago. And I was just like, rather than get in this struggle with him, just take the drapes away so there's nothing for him to pull on. And, of course, he invented something else to do. The point was, though, that the thing that he replaced that behavior with wasn't as dangerous, because I was afraid he was going to pull the whole thing down on his head in addition to ripping it out of the wall. So when we took them down, the replacement behavior, you know, he ran his trucks across my coffee table. I thought, oh, she's going to ruin the finish of the coffee table. Big deal. But right. I started to work more on, you know, what can we do with your behavior? How can we get you regulated? I didn't use that word at the time. And so everything I did had to do with that. And I found out after I read Dan Hughes that, in fact, what I was doing was practicing what Dan Hughes calls PACE, patience, acceptance, empathy, curiosity. And I add an S for sense of humor because it's so important. And
absolutely.
Started talking to the teachers about this in the classroom. So you know, if he wasn't a bad boy in school. He never hurt any of the other kids or anything, but he had serious attention problems. And so he would get up in the middle of little carpet time and just walk away because he wanted to go over to the paint center. And he didn't really understand that he had to wait for the rest of the class to move to the paint center. But rather than, you know, no, Theo, we can't move over there. You have to sit here in the timeout chair. You know, it was just kind of like, Theo, why don't you rejoin the group? So that was really starting to work. And when he would have times of tantrum, when I stayed really calm, he got calm faster. So, all right, this goes along, fast forward years, and we're working with teachers. And now I'm a building administrator, and teachers are coming to me with, you know, this child has ADHD, but none of the things that I know that works for ADHD is working for this child. And I started saying, listen, maybe there is a trauma history. It doesn't matter. We don't need to know for sure. Why don't you try some of these things that I had been using and other teachers had been using with my son? And they were working. Boys, girls, different ages, different backgrounds. These empathetic, compassionate, relationship building strategies were working for all of these kids. And so that those years in my role as an administrator working with these teachers was really where I began to develop the strategies for a trauma-informed classroom. And then I had an opportunity to work on my doctorate, which was just always on my list of things to do. And so in researching and doing all of the coursework for my doctorate, which is in developmental trauma in schools, I learned everything about what I had done all these years, the names for it, the research behind it, some of the folks who explain, like Ross Green, who was our keynote in the summit, to reframe your thinking around children. So honestly, that's what my son brought me into this work. But my passion as a teacher, I just kept saying, teachers need to understand this because they're the gatekeepers of the nation's children. And if we really want to heal trauma as a society, the best way to do it is through our public schools because those teachers see every child and have access to all of those children's parents. So I just started talking to teachers every chance I got. And that's what brought me to the Attachment and Trauma Network. Also, as a mom, I found the Attachment and Trauma Network's Facebook support group to be a lifesaver as my son became a teenager. And that's where I met you and found out that I wasn't alone. And although you have a daughter, I have a son, and they're very different children, as a mom, there were so many similar experiences that we were having. And I still to this day count that one of my life blessings is meeting all of you and having the support that I do. So then Julie and I started talking about how can we seriously do something for these parents who are asking for help for the schools. And then we had teachers who may or may not have been adoptive moms who were saying, help me with my students. And that's how creating trauma-sensitive schools for the Attachment Trauma Network got started. We've been at it for about a year, training with teachers. And as you can tell, I absolutely love it.